CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. Finance leaders today have to drive ultra-efficient finance teams. They need to strike the right balance between efficiency and productivity while also delivering optimal business results. My guest today is Brian Krause, CFO of Community First Solutions. Brian has over 20 years building and driving finance teams. He is an expert in how to balance driving productivity while also not sacrificing efficiency. And he has had lots of experience with innovation, driving new technologies, and building lean, agile teams. Brian, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me, Melissa. Good to see you.
Can you start by telling us a bit about your prior experience, about the company that you're with, and also what's the structure of your finance team?
My prior experience mostly was in hospital systems and the acute care side. So I spent a long time with a system in Southwest Ohio and Cincinnati area, doing a lot of different things for them. I was the controller for the system and then the VP of finance for the system. So kind of grew up there doing everything from budgeting and financial analysis, having the accounting and audit responsibility and all that, pretty much the billing revenue cycle. So one way or another hit kind of every facet of the finance side. Then I left there and became the CFO of a kind of private equity backed third party administrator in health insurance. And so that was kind of fun for a couple of years because the big change and to kind of see how the private equity world works and dealing with a lot of the different challenges that presents. And then for almost the last 5 years, I've been the CFO here at Community First Solutions. And we're, I would say, primarily a senior living company. So our bread and butter is independent living for seniors, but also assisted living and skilled nursing home living, care for seniors. But then we've got a wide range of other nonprofit business lines. So we've got a pretty large mental health counseling, substance abuse disorders, a lot of other social service programs, everything from Meals on Wheels to transporting elderly. It's a lot of different businesses. So I've been doing that for about 5 years. And, you know, when you ask about the size of the team, I think it's interesting to hear. I would say I've got maybe 15 people, whereas when I was, you know, with a large health system, I had probably, I don't know, 75 people. So, you know, I went from a $2 billion health system to a $70 million, you know, smaller mid-sized company. And, you know, it in and of itself presents some challenges. When I say we've got 15 people, that's probably half accounting and some of our billing account receivable folks.
You've had a variety of experiences, big companies, small company, different roles. One of the things today, I think lots of CFOs are talking about, regardless what size company they're with, what industry, is all about efficiency. It just seems to be such a top of mind topic for folks right now. When you think about efficiency and you think about productivity, how do you define those two? And why do you think it's important for CFOs to be thinking about the difference between the two?
To me, productivity is, you know, purely a volume output metric, you know, so how much work are we getting done essentially? You know, whereas efficiency is, you know, kind of taking into account, well, how long is it taking us to get that work done or how quickly can we get it done and using the resources that we got? Yeah, I would throw a third one in there too, which I always talk about too, is, you know, the effectiveness. So there is an effectiveness or impact measure that you have to make in there too, because you could get it done quicker, but if it's not the same quality of work, you know, that may or may not be, you know, what you're really trying to accomplish. So, you know, I think about it in terms of balancing those two. I mean, obviously we want to be as productive as we can, but the better you get at being efficient, the more productive you can get. And, you know, you're constantly having to measure, in my opinion, the efficiency or impact of those efficiency metrics that you're putting into place or initiatives that you're putting into place.
When you talk about productivity, it's about that quantity side. And yet when you're talking about efficiency, it speaks more to the process and the quality, you know, that gets captured there as well. And so I think, and certainly myself, I've used those terms interchangeably, I think, at times when I'm talking about things with the team. But there is a nuance and a difference, and both matter, and there's certainly some correlation between the two. But as we're talking to teams and what we're really focusing on and why, I do think it's important to know that difference. When you think then about CFOs who are trying to increase that productivity of their company, what are some of the things that you think CFOs need to be thinking about?
One is, and we talk about with our team, is you've really got to make time and almost schedule time to figure out how to increase productivity. So I think about it in the finance world as that annual planning cycle. And, you know, we get in a groove of our monthly close process, our annual budget process, our audit, and all those things are absolutely necessary and take amount of time. But you know, a lot of times when we're looking at shortening those processes, and there's some efficiency you have to go through to do that. But one of the reasons I'm always looking to shave days off those processes is it frees the other days in the calendar month or in the annual cycle to focus on productivity. So, or efficiency. And we talk about that is like, hey, there's something that comes up that we want to do. And we'll literally say, hey, we're going to tackle that in October once our audit is finished in September. And we'll literally, I mean, we might be talking about it in April, but we'll start penciling that in for making time to do it. So I think it's so easy in our world to get caught up. There's plenty to do to just get through what you got to get through. We have to, I think, really almost focus the team to make time for those kind of improvements. And I think the other one I think about a lot, and which I talk to my team about, efficiency can mean doing things quicker or faster, or, you know, with less resources or automating. But it can also mean stop doing certain things and prioritizing. So, you know, I would say like stop doing a report in 2 hours less, or just not doing a report that takes 2 hours is the same benefit in terms of efficiency. And it's hard sometimes because, you know, I'm not saying that necessarily what you're doing isn't important, because it may be, but if you have limited resources, limited hours in the day, is it the most important thing for us to be doing? And so would we rather swap out the 2 hours you're spending on that every month and have you spend 2 hours doing something else? So I think it's also good to constantly challenge what you can't take off people's plates, because it may have been the exact right priority 5 years ago, but maybe it's not the exact right priority now.
It's not just keep doing what we've always done and do it quicker, but stopping and checking ourselves is so key. And I love that you touched on the seasonality, because it can feel like a grind at times in a finance team. And depending where you sit in the finance team, sometimes they have different seasonal workloads as well. The payroll team is on a slightly different calendar than those who are responsible for the audit compared to those who are planning. And if you look at it in aggregate, it can feel like there's never a window to even think about how to drive these things. But being purposeful about that, I like how you talked about, we might be knowing in April we're not doing it until the fall, but at least we know there's a window coming, and we need to look towards when those windows present, really using them wisely to make sure we're advancing the business this way. When you think about CFOs and as they focus on this, what do you think are some of the risks of focusing just on productivity while not also keeping in mind efficiency and all the things that can come with that?
Yeah, I think the classic risk is when you're only focused on productivity, what it sounds like to the team member is do more with less. You know, keep doing more, keep doing more, keep doing more. And, you know, most places, team members are, you know, it's rare that I stumble upon somebody who says, I've got all these extra hours, like, what would you like me to do? So they already feel like their plate is full. And if you're just focused on productivity, they feel stressed. I'm planning burnout's a real risk, because you're just really asking somebody, well, I know you're already working X number of hours, but I need you to add this on top of it. So if you're just focused on productivity without efficiency, you're not really, it's almost not fair to some extent if you've got a fully utilize team and you're not having resources. And you really got to focus on both. I think the biggest risk is just, frankly, job dissatisfaction, burnout for the team.
I sometimes find myself that I'm catching myself because I feel like I'm overusing these words. And if you don't have real tangible examples of what this looks like or celebrate those examples, even sometimes the small ones, so that the team can stop and reflect, hey, right, we did stop producing that report that was taking me this app many hours. We did decide to change this process and it was going to be taking these many steps out of it. That equals half an hour a week even. You know, sometimes I think these things can be small, but if we don't do this a little bit more consciously, it does just feel like you're drowning at times and expected to just do all the same stuff without any new tools or thought going into it. And you're right, burnout is a real concern, you know, especially these times where many companies have had to take a look at structures. There have been some that have had to restructure based on different priorities within their teams, where resources are, yet the teams then that might feel like they're losing resources are sitting there going, but I have to do all the same stuff, but now just with less people, how am I supposed to do this? So I think a really important point.
One of the things we try to do too is I try to give permission. You know, when I talk about effectiveness or impact, you know, it works both ways. So we don't want to implement things that are more efficient, but way less accurate because that hasn't really accomplished the goal. But I do want to give permission to the team to explore ways. There are sometimes you can sacrifice a little bit of accuracy to save a tremendous amount of time. And we, especially as accountants, don't think that way. And so a lot of times giving permission to people, like certain things just have to tick and tie, right? Like the balance sheet has to be in balance, you know, like, but when you're doing estimates or forecasting or whatever, you know, you can get caught up in trying to make things perfect. And then I can say, well, if it takes 10 hours to make it perfect, but it takes 2 hours to make it 98%, maybe 98%. It's good enough for what we're trying to achieve. And so I think sometimes you got to give people permission to not be perfect also, because our accounting brains aren't wired to not make things 100% accuracy, and that's not always needed for whatever task you're working on. Obviously, if it's payroll, but not everything.
That 80-20 rule often applies here. Sometimes you realize that 80% of the work is going into getting just that last little bit right. And is it really necessary to go all the way? But you're right. It's in our DNA to want the perfection, the reconcile this thing down to the penny.
That's why I say give them permission. Like I literally will tell folks, like, I'm giving you permission. Like it does not have to. We're looking directionally here or whatever. It's just, it's hard for them to. Sometimes certain people to think that way because they feel like it's wrong and it's not. There's a difference. It's not black and white.
It's great that you are giving them permission. I think that's such a key part of it. I find we also have to make sure then that if there is something that isn't quite perfect, we don't have others in the organization that make the team feel like, well, now my confidence in your numbers isn't right, or also fostering that sense of fear almost of making the mistake. And so I do think it needs to seep into the broader culture. And on that point, curious, how do you think we as finance leaders can help to foster this culture that really drives a focus on productivity and efficiency?
I talked to folks about like what are we trying to do for the organization and how do we support it? And you know, a lot of that's connecting our work to the mission of the organization. We're not here to do the monthly close. Like, yes, we are here to do the monthly close, but that's not like what's the purpose of the business and how do we help advance the purpose of the business? And so trying to, you know, for us right now, the last few years since I've been here, you know, we talk about as a nonprofit, we've been here a little over 100 years and our goal is to set the organization up to be here for another 100 years. And so we're working on a great strategy that we've been implementing. And so I talked to our team a lot about what our role is in the growth strategies. So how we support whether it's through producing things for debt purposes, whether it's producing reports for operational folks that they need to monitor the business. So trying to tie back, like, what's our purpose, right? And our purpose is not to produce a monthly close and an audit, although that is something we have to do. Our purpose is to support and advance the business. And if you think about it in that term, and we think about, okay, now how do we support and advance the business? We have to do X, Y, Z. Well, we've got to become more efficient and free up and or maybe learn new skills and get new resources so that we can do that for the organization. That's a lot of it, is just trying to change people's mindset. So like you said, it's real easy to get in a groove of the monthly cycle, the annual cycle. And just like it's hard to figure out how to make, you know, your own personal work life more efficient, or your department. It's hard sometimes to focus on the strategic part of the business. And that's what I'm trying to get people to focus on, and including our team and how we support that.
For me, getting more efficient is what's going to allow us to have that time to do that. I think automations then obviously often come into the conversation when you're thinking about how to be more streamlined. Can you share with us some success stories that you've had with introducing automations that allowed you to then focus on more pushing more strategic initiatives?
One we've done recently, which is probably not unusual and for a lot of people, is just trying to be more automated in our accounts payable process. So we honestly use COVID as an excuse to do part of that and outsource the, I'll say, check printing function aspect of things. And then now we've fully implemented, I'll say the rest of the accounts payable process in terms of the scanning workflow, coding part of that to a third party that, you know, automates as much of that as possible. And so we've got 1.8 FTEs now in our accounts payable department, and we've, been able to do that as we supported 3 new locations. So I said, we got through a period where we added a significant amount of business without any additional FTEs in that area. And that's, partially because we're trying to build that engine and sort of automate those processes that we can't automate.
I'm imagining that probably led to, at the end of it, higher job satisfaction for the individuals involved and possibly higher quality as well.
That's how we try to talk to people. Like I can tell you the very first meeting we had about this, there was everybody's always a little fearful. I'm like, this isn't about eliminating positions, but I would like to eliminate you scanning invoices into a workflow. Like, is that super exciting for you? I mean, I don't think so. So we'd like that work to go somewhere else and have you more focused on, statement reconciliations and working with our departments on vendors and things like that, and so trying to refocus that work. So yes, I'm hopeful that is increasing job satisfaction, but that's what we're trying to do is take some of that work off of people's plate that, frankly, everybody's got stuff in their job that they don't necessarily love, but that's the kind of stuff that leads itself to automation.
Do you just get used to doing this thing you've always done? And sometimes you're not even stopping to think, hey, I really don't like this, or there could be a better way. And if I could free up this time, I could go do these other things. So, going back to the point you made earlier about finding that time and space, even to just think and drive through some of these initiatives is such a key part of it.
You got to be realistic about it too, because I always tell people, like, it's going to get worse before it gets better too. And you're going to build that into the timeline because, unfortunately, like the old saying, that you've got to build the car while you're driving it. We can't just put the business on hold while we're implementing something. So you're sort of keeping the old process going a little bit while you're building the new process. And that's, I think, the other reason it makes it hard. You got to plan the time to do it, because, and you just have to sort of prep people for, like, you will get there, but it's going to get a little worse before it gets better.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Venna lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at VennaSolutions.com.
We'll get there, but it's going to get a little worse before it gets better.
Another area that I think there's been a lot of pressure put on businesses over the last number of years, you know, starting with COVID, economic uncertainty, you know, all kinds of different factors, is on our planning and analysis side of the house, whether it's, hey, we're pivoting to being more efficient as a business, or we got to be ready for more scenarios. Have you had any good wins there in terms of streamlining some of that, those aspects of the business?
You hear people calling different things, or, you know, stretch budgets or things like that. I like to think of it more as contingency planning. So I think the thing I noticed the most after having done budgets for so many years is budgets tend to be aspirational and forecasts tend to be aspirational. And much as you try to say, well, this is the low, medium, high scenario, whatever, you know, people are, I'll say, aspirational again in their assumptions. And so as much as you try to pressure test them and make them realistic, you know, even if you hit all those, I think the thing I always say is, like, there's 8 things that are going to happen that we haven't even thought about yet this year that are going to hit the business in the wrong direction. So how do we plan in advance? Like, where else will we turn? What expenses would we delay or turn off? And you know, really trying to have that, and we may not budget for it, but we have it in our back pocket as a contingency plan that we can put in place if some of those things happen, or if all the aspirational assumptions don't come through.
So let's talk for a minute about artificial intelligence. It's been there for a number of years, but it's really been a top of mind conversation, I think, for finance folks, particularly in this last year. What role do you see AI playing when it comes to helping drive efficiency for finance and business operations more broadly?
I'm still trying to get my head around it, because I think there's probably things we haven't even, again, thought about yet. I mean, I'm hopeful, like in our world is, you know, in the healthcare world, we spend so much time on administrative things with going back and forth with insurance companies. So whether it's pre-authorization paperwork, I mean, we still live in a world where insurance companies want to fax stuff to us, which is unbelievable. Wow. So I think that's what's going to change the most, at least in our world, is we're going to see a lot more. You know, a lot of this information already exists. Like, it exists in my system, it exists in the hospital system, he's referring patients to me, or it exists in the physician office, and it exists in the insurance company. And a lot of this is all just right now done through faxing and emailing and paper that we're all sending amongst ourselves and trying to justify why this patient needs to be here or get whatever service. And I can see, you know, there's been people who've worked on those things with health information exchanges and that kind of stuff, but I suspect that's going to really take off with AI and help, like, how do we more efficiently sift through all that as an industry and communicate better? Because that's, you know, our country has a real issue with the cost of healthcare, and a lot of it's tied up in just old business practice, administrative expenses.
You know, as we sit here in our seats, be it today, artificial intelligence, but as we think about other areas to streamline automation, reducing workloads, often tools and technology become part of that. And sometimes the tool is seen as the thing that's going to save the day, and sometimes actually becomes the scapegoat for why we can't advance today as well. How do you think about how to prioritize where to focus on the tools and technology? Because sometimes it can seem like there's a lot to do, but we've got to be picking and prioritizing which are those tools that are going to make the cut and really drive that efficiency and productivity for us.
It's really hard. I mean, it scares me to some extent, to be honest. I mean, I think, like you said, there's so much out there, and not just what processes should be automated or where technology can help, but what's the right one to pick. And there's so many out there. It's overwhelming at times. So at least for me and mine, I rely a lot on, I'll say, industry associations. So we're actually part of we're an investor in a small private equity fund that's within our industry that focuses on, I'll say, not startups, but early generation, first generation type early venture capital focused on technology in the senior living industry. So we invested in it, not really for the return, investor return aspect on it, although we're hopeful we get some of that, but honestly, to get a seat at the table with our peers and the people that are working full-time in the space that are vetting these products every day and then deciding which ones they think are going to make it. And then getting, I mean, there's an annual conference actually where you have to sit down and talk with some of these people. And so I think that's one avenue where we go through is to try to distill, like, how do we get more information on what's the best of the best, what products are going to survive and what are really going to work. And you can get that a lot of times through your, you know, just general peer-to-peer networking and who you know at other organizations and tried something. But I like to go to the, you know, our trade organizations. And then I love this investment concept just because it's so focused on that. And there's a lot of smart people who are doing this work every day and looking at these companies every day and leveraging what they're doing rather than us trying to figure out, well, is this the right company or not?
Let's talk for a minute about the importance of the cross-company collaboration when we're thinking about efficiency initiatives. Can you give an example where you did something that was driving efficiency that required that collaboration and what it did for the business?
We historically have outsourced our lab, and meaning we bring in patients, we bring in companies from the outside to pick up blood and take it out. And result back to us through a portal. And with there's a lot of issues in the lab space right now with staffing and their technology and getting those results back fast, that timely enough for our physicians to make decisions has been a struggle. So our medical directors have complained. They're like, hey, we can't get the information we need from these companies fast enough. And, you know, through a project we've been working on, we determined that in our industry, at least with three or four pieces of equipment and some training and that sort of stuff, we could actually run about 90% of the lab tests we need in-house. And so it became a great cross collaboration of, you know, these projects I love because it's going to save money in the long run because the supplies and the machines are going to, there's probably an 18-month payback for us. But, you know, our finance people were really working on pulling the data around what kinds of tests we're doing and what are the costs compared to what we pay outside today. So there's a cost component, savings component, but there's also a quality component to it. Like I said, we can control how quickly the tests are done, and we don't have to rely on a third party reporting results back through our portal. We'll go straight from our lab information system to our electronic medical record. So we'll get things faster. It'll actually be integrated with our electronic medical record. And so anytime you can work on a project like that with, you know, operations people, finance people, our physicians, some third parties, and you know, you're heading towards, hey, I can save some money. But I can increase, I can get results back faster, and I can integrate them in my electronic medical record. Like, that's a win-win. So it's a tough project, but it's going to have a huge impact for the organization.
That sounds like a great one. It's exciting when you see those. It gets almost scary because of the magnitude of how big it is. But on the other side of it, I can imagine that'll be a big celebration.
Yeah, we're very excited.
We talked a bit earlier about the resource constraints in that we're busy, we don't have time to stop and think about how to improve. Do you have any examples where, despite those constraints, the team was able to deliver on an efficiency and maybe even overachieved what they thought was possible?
We are finishing an acquisition right now, I'll say. And it came by, I love it, but I don't love the timing because we did an acquisition in September of 23. We did a new management agreement to manage a new facility in late 23. And now we're acquiring another facility that's going to close on August 1st. So we've got three essentially new big facilities in less than a year. And during that time, we obviously were working on our budget and forecasting and all that. And so, you know, really, I think the biggest, I think for me is that because of all this stuff we've been doing and trying to, I talked to the team about is building the engine of our infrastructure. You know, they've been able to take on into the monthly close and budget process these two new facilities, and they're ready to take on this third one. And again, we haven't added any positions. So I think, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, I've talked to them about a lot, was preparing for this. So I've been here 4.5 years, and we weren't ready in the beginning. And then when we were ready, we had some swings and misses with some growth opportunities that didn't come through. And now that they are coming through, we're ready. And so I think a lot of that planning that we've been working on and make our processes more efficient and all that, you know, I don't want to say it's plug and play because that makes it sound easier than it really is, but really can at some point, you know, adding another building, especially when you're within the same tax ID and things like that, you know, it's just more data. It's more rows that you're exporting over and stuff like that. But we've been able to really integrate all those with minimal staffing increases.
Yeah, those scaling improvements where you've set the business up to be able to scale at the next level without it needing to grow resources and ultimately slowing down the process, because if you hadn't laid that groundwork, you might not have been able to even possibly do that much in a year. So it definitely plants the seeds that you reap later on. Now, in closing, what advice would you have for finance leaders who are thinking about how to best foster an efficiency culture and how to think about technology and being able to drive these initiatives forward?
I don't know always where we can be more efficient. So a lot of it's just asking questions. You know, I'll ask somebody, whether hopefully before I see them getting stressed, but sometimes when I see them stressing, I'm kind of like, what? Like, help me understand why does this take so long? Because to me, it might sound easy. And then they go, oh, well, because I have to do this and then I have to do that. And then this person doesn't give me this until the fourth of them. And then so a lot of it's just asking questions and not assuming what sounds easy to me is easy in our organization for whatever reason. So I think the culture comes from just constantly talking about it and looking for those opportunities and asking questions and asking, you know, what I tell them is you don't necessarily need the solution, but I need to know from you where are your frustrations? What takes you longer than you think it should? Because you know your job, or you've done it somewhere else and you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but here it takes us this long and it's crazy. And then let's unpack what that means and figure out if there's a way to automate it. So that's the culture piece. I think, you know, the technology piece, you know, is more, and the strategy piece is kind of my area. And it goes back to, living by my old advice that I was saying earlier, is like, I have to make sure I'm forcing myself to be out from these four walls and looking to see what's out there. So I have to spend time talking to my peers, going to my trade organizations, researching whatever to see what is out there and sifting through, you know, the millions of things that are out there and finding the ones that solve the problem that we have and are the right solution. There's lots of things, like sometimes we can, like, they'll solve a problem that we don't have. Like, I'm not saying it's not a cool tool and it's not really, you know, does what it says it should do, but if it's not a big problem for me right now, sometimes automating it just to say it's automated isn't the right thing to do. As a CFO, you just have to really focus on yourself, getting educated and seeing what's out there and making the best decision. Because, and it's frustrating. It's kind of like the growth strategy too. You have to get used to spending a lot of time on things that never come to fruition. Because you're not going to go look at four pieces of technology and implement four pieces of technology. So you have to go look at lots of things and talk to lots of people that may nothing ever come of it. And then, but then you find the one that really makes a benefit to your organization. So I think just forcing yourself to do that and understanding that not everything you look at is going to go anywhere, but it's a process you have to go through.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you're suggesting making the space to understand what's possible. And you talked about our time and how it gets spent. And, you know, I think for many businesses, most businesses, the most precious resource we have is our people's time. And sometimes we have a culture that undervalues that or doesn't actually realize we are choosing how to spend our time each and every day. And are we thinking of it in the context of one, understanding how we're spending it? Because sometimes we or employees aren't even really conscious of how much time is going into things that are not as value added. And two, making sure then the way I'm spending my time, where could it be better? Where am I wasting my time? And is it focused on the most critical priority things? Because it is not an unlimited box that can flex forevermore. And so having those conversations you mentioned about understanding better, the person in the role is the closest to understanding what that job looks like and where those opportunities are. We just have to help them find a way to unearth the biggest opportunities that exist.
People tend to be so nice and they want to do a good job. So not only do they want perfection, which you may have to release them from, they may be responding to a department outside of your realm who's asking for XYZ. And they go, well, I'm like, why are you doing that? They're like, well, XYZ department needs it. I go, okay, well, then let me go talk to XYZ department because that's not where I can't have you spending that much time on that. And let me talk. So, you know, a staff level person isn't going to say, I don't have time to do your request.
Brian, thank you so much for joining me today. Always love hearing your insights, your stories of what you're seeing. And this topic is such a great one. So really enjoy getting to chat with you about it. Now, whenever we have guests on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask them. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, I think.
What is your go-to strategy for staying productive throughout the workday?
No matter where I've been, it always is, I almost always once a day, I'll go take a 5-minute walk. And I try to get outside the building. So I have a great opportunity now because we're in a nice little downtownish area. And, you know, you can get caught up in my headspace just going from meeting to meeting or being through emails or whatever or phone calls. But to me, just especially if the weather is nice, getting 5 minutes to go down and take a quick walk around the block and get some fresh air and clear your mind to get out of that rut is, to me, often helps me kind of reset the second part of my day.
Good piece of advice there. The second question is, what helps you turn a bad day around?
I think the walk often turns my bad day around, but I think also just, you know, sometimes just a quick text back and forth with my wife or one of my kids. I think sometimes it's just, I like to connect in the middle of the day if I'm having a rough day or whatever. And usually one of them will say something, you know, just hearing or communicating with them, you kind of turns my day around. So that's always an easy one.
Brian, thanks again for joining me on the show. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure. And thanks a lot for having me on.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit the CFOshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.